good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hi, Bushu, everybody. This is Ogamaganua Kwe. Our host, Robert Pilot, is actually on vacation for today and tomorrow, so we have a special guest host here on Native Roots Radio. Dr. Stately, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thank you for calling me a special guest host. That's awesome. I love it. good evening, everyone. I'm Anthony Stately. I'm an enrolled citizen of the United Nation of Wisconsin. A descendant of the Great Red Lake and White Earth Nations of Minnesota, and I'm also executive officer of the Native American Community Clinic, and really, really honored and privileged to be with you tonight, Ogima.
We are so glad that you could join us tonight and help me host the show. You know, it's a lot of talking to be able to host the show by yourself, but we have some special guests lined up for everybody tonight. Dr. Stately got the organizers for the Two-Spirit Powwow happening at South High School in Minneapolis tomorrow afternoon and into the evening to join us. And we've got Nolan Berglund joining us later on the show as well. And he is one of the head dancers at the Two-Spirit Powwow. So that is what we are heading with later on in the show today. Dr. Stately, if it's okay with you, I might give a little bit of news and updates before we get kicking off with that.
Yep, that sounds perfect. Let's go with the news.
Fantastic. So there are so many events happening around Minnesota and around the Line 3 and Line 5 events. So first thing I want to do is kind of highlight some of those because they're this weekend. This weekend, Saturday, June 25th, and Ashland, Wisconsin at Bayview City Park is the Communities United by Water Shigwamagan Bay Celebration, where water protectors can meet and inform and organize and sing, and there's food and there's speakers, and there's going to be just a fantastic time happening there. Again, that's this weekend, is Saturday in Ashland, Wisconsin. I believe the events kick off at about 10 a.m. on Saturday, and they run all through the day, so that is a super exciting event this weekend. Another event that's happening this weekend that is via Zoom, if you can't make it to Wisconsin but still want to take some time to get to know a grandmother, is the Grandmothers of the Sacred We Zoom gathering. That's at 3 p.m. Eastern time, and that will include great-grandmother Mary Lyons, who's Ojibwe, two Maori grandmothers, and grandmothers from, I believe, a Northwest Pacific tribe as well, and one from the Hopi Nation in Southwest Turtle Island. So these ladies are getting together to share sacred community, love, unity, wisdom, laughter, friendship, all those good things on this Zoom meeting. You do need to register by searching Grandmothers of the Sacred We on social media to get the Zoom link. It's free, but there's only 100 seats, so just make sure that you are taking the time to go and register. Quick update on what's happening with Drop the Charges right now is that the Flood the Courts and Drop the Charges are working hand in hand right now. And the Drop the Charges movement has been very effective. There were over 1,000 open cases resulting from the Line 3 protests in the state of Minnesota. But now there are less than 300 criminal cases remaining, including Tayshia Martineau just posted yesterday that her charges from a protest in which Indigenous water protectors chained themselves to the gate of the Minnesota governor's mansion in St. Paul. Her charges from that last August, I believe, were dropped. So those kinds of things are moving forward, but we do need to remember to show up if we can and flood the courts for our water protectors who still have trials and pre-trial hearings that are coming up. So pre-trial hearing that's coming up for support of our Indigenous water protector in Cass County, Minnesota. The motion hearing was just on the 20th. Pre-trial is the 27th, which I do believe is next Monday. And jury trial for charges for Sihas and Hope are next Tuesday, 6/28, June 28th at 9 a.m., again at the Cass County Courthouse. That's at 303 Minnesota Avenue in Walker, Minnesota. Make sure we show up and support our water protector friends who are facing charges from peacefully occupying and attempting to make their voice heard when it came to the Line 3 pipeline. Other things that are coming up is that you can save the date for July, because in July is the beginning of the jury trial for Shanai Matson, and pretrial for the Shell River 7 is starting on July 20th. So Shanai Matson is a wonderful water protector who has worked very, very hard for many years. She's a lifelong member, or lifelong residents, I believe, of the Aiken County area near Palisade, where the Welcome Water Protectors Camp was set up. And she was involved right away. And again, her pretrial is July 14th. So if you want to save that date, and then pretrial for the Shell River 7, including Winona LaDuke and others, begins on July 20th. So those are Flood the Court events that are coming up here. Other things that are coming up next Tuesday is the Water Protector Community Art Share, where people who were water protectors or got involved in the movement can share artwork, photos, poetry, music, and just kind of witnessing the movement to stop Line 3. I know myself that I have, gosh, I can't think how many hundreds of photos I have from over the last year and a half of coverage from these different protests and occupations that our Indigenous and ally people did to attempt to shut down the Line 3 pipeline before anything bad happened with the Mississippi River. But as we all know, there were several frack outs along the Mississippi River and along other rivers and into watersheds throughout Minnesota that the pipeline company Enbridge has yet to fix. And we have yet to hear anything from the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency or any of the other state agencies who are supposed to prevent these types of things from happening. So those are kind of the updated facts there. And then, Dr. Stately, we have Shell River reunions. We missed the ones for June. They were the 17th, 18th, and 19th. And July 15th through 17th is the Shell River reunions. The Shell River reunions are started by the Shell River Alliance, and they will be going to the Shell City Campground near Monaga, Minnesota, right near the site where the Shell River 7, including Winona LaDuke, where seven women were arrested for remaining in the water as Enbridge was attempting to drill underneath the Shell River. So those events include an open mic. I believe that July and August will both see, I believe July they're having Annie Humphrey for music, and August they're going to have Corey Medina. But it is a great time to return to the Shell River and to heal from those spaces that may have caused trauma during the Line 3 construction, or to start rallying to continue forward with the movement with that. Another great thing to save the date for is the Water is Life Festival, which is starting Sunday, September 4th at the Bayfront Festival Park in Duluth, Minnesota. Tickets are $40 at firstavenue.com, and they go on sale tomorrow, I believe, June 24th. Headlining artist is Ani DeFranco, followed by the Indigo Girls, Allison Russell, Lowe, Joe Rainey Sr., Annie Humphrey, David Huckfelt, Keith Cicola, Corey Medina, and many more that have yet to be announced. So if you want to get your tickets for that, that's a pretty killer lineup, I think, Dr.
Stanley. That is a killer lineup. Man, I haven't seen some of those people in decades.
Awesome. It's been a while since I've seen Ani DeFranco. I've seen her twice. Yeah. And I think it's probably going on 5 or 6 years since I've seen her last. And I would really like to get a chance to see her at an outdoor venue like the Bayfront Festival Park in Duluth. I think that would be beautiful.
Yeah, I bet that would be an awesome event. I'm going to go. Absolutely.
You're going to go? I'm going to hope to go, but we'll see what's happening, because Native Roots Trading Post is also going to be at the Minnesota State Fair. And and that is right during the Minnesota State Fair time. So.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. We'll have a booth there.
Yes. Yes, we are. So we're just closing up this section here, Dr. Stately. And up next, we have Nolan Berglund, who's one of the head dancers for the Two-Spirit Powwow at South High School in Minneapolis later on tomorrow. So we'll get to talk to him about that.
Awesome.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey there. Good evening. How are you, Nolan?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Great. We're doing wonderful. Thank you for joining us this evening. I'm really privileged and honored that you're here with us and so excited to talk with you about the powwow, the Two-Spirit Powwow. This is Minneapolis's first Two-Spirit Powwow, I believe, correct?
Yeah, I believe so too. I've never heard of having a one here before, but I'm honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, it's really exciting. I was just looking looking up two powwows earlier today, and the Bay Area American Two-Spirit Powwow, which I think is one of the longest running and also probably one of the largest Two-Spirit Powwows in the nation, is actually happening today in the Bay Area. So happy powwowing to those of you that are in San Francisco and the Bay Area. Enjoy your evening and post some pictures and share the beauty and the excitement with us all. So anyway, so tell us how this all came about, like, and what your role was in it. And you're the head dancer, so that's a big role and responsibility.
Yeah, it was a big honor to be asked to be headman dancer. And it's actually my first time ever being a head dancer of a powwow. But I wasn't involved in, like, the planning of the powwow. Okay. I have a friend who was on, like, the planning. Her name is Jennifer, and she texted me and my sister and asked if we'd be willing to take on this responsibility, and we gladly accepted.
That's so awesome. And so it's actually your first time being a headman dancer too. You must be a little bit anxious. I would be anxious, I think, in that.
Yeah. I did have a little bit of anxiety coming up to the powwow, but then just yesterday I thought about what the powwow means to me and how I'm going to be surrounded with my queer relatives, and how it brought me comfort to think about that.
That is so cool. That's awesome. And is your sister Two-Spirit as well, or she's okay. Awesome. That's wonderful. That's awesome. And tell us a little bit about, is your sister joining us tonight, or she's probably busy, I suppose.
Yeah, she is busy. Sadly, she has some errands that she had to run.
So for our listeners that might not know what a head dancer at a powwow is, Nolan, do you think you could give us a little bit of details on how that goes?
Yeah, so at every powwow they have a headman and a headwoman dancer, and they're kind of just the two like invited dancers that come, and if whenever there's like an honoring at the powwow or something, the head dancer's responsibilities is to be there for that honoring. And they also have a responsibility to be out there for a lot of the dances that they do. Like if they have intertribals, they're expected to make most of them or be out there and kind of encourage people to come out and dance too, and kind of, be there for the community.
That certainly sounds like a big responsibility.
That is a big responsibility. It sounds almost as big as being the arena director, actually. So
Yeah.
that's a big responsibility as well. I have friends who've done that role, and they tell me how much pressure they feel when they do that responsibility. So that's awesome that you're
Right.
stepping into the role. And you, well, I'm an old man, so like, but you seem really young. So like, to be doing that role, and I think that's awesome. So how long have you been dancing? Like, when did you start?
So I first got my very first regalia when I was in first grade, actually, because in elementary, I went to school at the American Indian Magnet School over on the east side in St. Paul. And every week we'd have a drum and dance where all of the students would gather in the lunchroom and they'd have the drum group come down and we would have like a little drum and dance event where the students could go out and dance in the circle. And I would always be out there and, all my teachers would see me how much I loved being in that circle. So a couple of my teachers have actually got together to get the materials and to create a regalia for me. And I've always been grateful for them to do that for me because they saw how much I like really loved being out there dancing and they really wanted to do that for me. So I was able to have my own regalia. And ever since, I've been a dancer.
That is so awesome. That is a really wonderful story, and it's also a big commitment to do that ever, like from being a small boy all the way up to now. And I would imagine dancing seems like it's really important to you, and maybe it might be something you do your whole life. So
Yeah,
that's
I definitely see myself being a dancer throughout my life and also carrying that on, that powwow lifestyle to my children.
Awesome. So you're planning to have children as well? Or do
Yes, well, far from now. I'm
you far from now, like not
hopeful.
next week or even
Yeah.
that's awesome. I think that's amazing. That I think about like how our young people in our communities are so more able to be kind of up front and center and be open and be out in the community and be in positions of leadership, and also creating lots of opportunity for change for the path for the people coming up behind them. And I think it's awesome that you want to be a dad. I wanted to be a dad my whole life. It took me until I was about 44 years old to figure it all out. But it is uniquely the most amazing role I've ever had in my life. Like, there's no job that I would rather do than that. So anyway,
All
so that's awesome. I'm really proud of you. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Oh, you didn't tell us like where you're from or like also, so maybe tell us like where you're enrolled and who your people and your family are, and that would be great to know as well.
Yeah, so I come from the Northern Cheyenne and Oglala Lakota Nation. I'm enrolled in Northern Cheyenne, but I'm born and raised here in the cities. And on my Lakota side, I come from the Two Bulls family. And on my Northern Cheyenne side, I come from the redneck family.
Nice, awesome. Well, that's wonderful. Those are two really beautiful nations. I've been to Northern Cheyenne a couple of times. My adopted mother is married into a Northern Cheyenne family. John Sipes was her husband before he
Oh,
passed.
okay.
Yeah, so got some Northern Cheyenne people in my extended family. So
Maybe I'm
really
related to them. No.
possibly we'll have to confer tomorrow.
Right.
Find out. Oh, okay, well,
Hey,
it's
I'm just.
lovely having you here. I want you to stay if you can, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to pop in here too for those of you who might just be tuning in. Tomorrow, June 24th from 3 to 8 p.m., there is the Reclaiming Our Identities Two-Spirit Powwow in Minneapolis at South High School. The address is 3131 19th Avenue, again, South High School in Minneapolis. And to our knowledge, this is the first Two-Spirit Powwow in Minneapolis. So for those of you who aren't familiar with the term Two-Spirit, I believe Two-Spirit is a Native American term, or it's kind of, I guess, more of a broad term now. It's pretty widely used to describe people who are gay, or people that might be gender fluid.
Yeah. Huh? Gender fluid, queer identified.
Yeah. Yep, or identified.
And it's a pan Native American term. I think
that's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, that came about like several. I was a young man, first heard about it probably around Nolan's age, so probably about 30-40 years ago it came into existence. The first Two-Spirit gathering was actually in Canada, and during that gathering there was discussions about, you know, people noted at that gathering that they had many names for themselves that were tribal specific, right? And they had discussions about like, well, let's come up with a term that sort of fits us all. And I think, I'm not sure exactly how it happened. I'm not a historian in that regard, but, you know, I think, the term that sort of kind of emerged was Nijmanatuag, which is kind of like an Ojibwe or Anishinaabe interpretation as Two-Spirit. Be really interesting to dive into that story and find out like how it came about. In my mind, I want to imagine some people leg wrestled and one person won.
The way it was explained to me was that those who are Two-Spirit represent and live their life in aspects of both the male and female, or feminine and masculine, and that they were extra sacred people because they carried both of those. And most people only get to experience just feminine or just masculine. And the Two-Spirit represents the fluidity of that, and also is super all-encompassing, which is, I think, really a beautiful way to put it. And yeah, we're just exactly. coming.
I was about to say, if there's one thing that I want to say today and that I want everybody to remember, is that homophobia, queerphobia is not traditional.
Yes.
Absolutely. I think we have a commercial where, is it you that recorded that for Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Center, Nolan?
I don't think so.
There's a group of people who are saying homophobia is not traditional on that commercial. And I've always just felt so touched by that because it's true. And we've got just a couple of minutes left, but, you know, our relatives have, you know, been colonized in a lot of ways. And unfortunately, one of those ways is that there's been abuse to our Two-Spirit relatives over time. So it's good to remember that.
I'm really excited about this powwow because I went to high school at South High as a young boy from 1976 to 79. And I had lots of homophobic experiences there, mostly by non-Indigenous people, but some Indigenous people back in the day. And man, I worked really hard to get out of that high school. I graduated when I was 16, a year early, because I wanted out. So I'm going to go back to that powwow. It's going to be a healing experience for me. So I'm really, really excited about it.
Absolutely. So you are listening to Native Roots Radio on AM 950. We're here with Nolan Berglund, who's going to be the head dancer at Minneapolis's first Two-Spirit Powwow tomorrow, with his sister as the other head dancer. We're so grateful that you could join us today, Nolan. And if you'd like, you can stay on. I believe Dr. Stately has some of the ladies who helped to organize the Two-Spirit Powwow joining us here soon. Beth M. and Jennifer will be joining us in the next section. So make sure you stay tuned to Native Roots Radio on AM 950.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
When we heal from our traumas.
When we face our fears.
Let go of our addictions.
When we relearn our values.
When we live our teachings.
Respecting our elders.
Cherishing and honoring our children.
When we honor and take care of our spirit.
There will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Minnesota, it's Brad Friedman, host of The Bradcast. We'll expose and make sense of all of our current political nightmares and more every weeknight at 7 on AM 950.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
Hey, it's Patrick for Zero Res. With the warmer weather, you might be noticing your allergies picking up. And while outdoor allergies are annoying, indoor allergies can be just as bad. Did you know as many as 1 in 5 Americans suffer from allergies caused by particles frequently found inside most homes? One of the best things you can do to relieve indoor allergies is by having your air ducts cleaned. And Zero Res can help. Right now, you can take $75 off your air duct cleaning when you book your appointment at ZeroResMinnesota.com and say you want the AM 950 special. Plus, you can also get 3 rooms of carpet Zero Resified from the Twin Cities' number one carpet cleaner starting at just $149, plus a free room of fiber protector. A $60 savings. And Zero Res can clean more than just your home. Ask about getting your business professionally clean, too. So breathe healthy, happy, and clean with Zero Res by booking your appointment at ZeroResMinnesota.com to get 3 rooms of carpet cleaned for just $149 and get $75 off your air duct cleaning. That's ZeroResMinnesota.com.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for clear skies tonight with a low around 67, Thursday sunny with a high near 92, and Friday a chance for thunderstorms with a high around 87. Cafe Latte is a hot spot for American eats and house-made desserts in a cafeteria-style setup plus a pizza and wine bar. Cafe Latte believes ingredients matter, so that's why they never use artificial flavors, colors, or preservatives. Dine in at the restaurant off Victoria and Grand in St. Paul or place a takeout order at cafelatte.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Again, this is not Robert Pilot, everybody. Buju Anin. This is Ogamaganuakwe here with our guest host, Dr. Anthony Stately. And I want to just let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. Go ahead and take it away, Dr. Stately.
Hi. Thank you so much, Ogama. Well, good evening, Em, Jennifer, and Beth. Yeah, Beth. Okay. Hi. Thanks for joining us tonight. You have to unmute yourself, I think. So
it was bound to happen one of these days.
I think that's the phrase for like the 2020 decade. It's like, you're on mute instead of you guys.
Yes.
So thanks for joining us. You guys want to introduce yourselves? Tell us who you are, where you're from.
I'm Beth. I'm from the White Earth Band of Ojibwe, and I'm one of the coordinators.
Awesome. I'm Em. My family is from Sault Ste. Marie, Ojibwe, up in North Michigan, up UP, and I'm also a coordinator.
Awesome. I'm Jennifer. I'm Ho-Chunk in Muscogee Creek, and I'm also one of the coordinators.
Awesome. Well, thank you all for joining us tonight. I really appreciate it. And I think it's so wonderful. It's our first, I believe, Minneapolis Two-Spirit powwow. So that's a really big deal. How did this come about? Tell us the story.
I think I can take this one. The Minnesota Two-Spirit Society has been talking about it for years. We've been talking about trying to bus people out to other powwows and how to make that happen, and we have just been really hoping that this has happened. And then New Native Theater came along and they said we have the ability to start a powwow. So it happened pretty quickly, I would say about in the span of a month or so, and everyone in the community has been so receptive to it, and just interested in helping us make it happen. So it's been really cool to be a part of it.
Oh, that is so awesome. A shout out to Rihanna Yazzie and New Native Theater for their support of the project. That is awesome. That's so incredibly cool.
She's over here.
She's in the corner.
Where is she? I can't see her. You can stay on. Get in the picture.
If you're watching online, all three of the organizers are on screen right now, and the Yazzie in the background just popped in to say hello to everybody. It's pretty humorous to see on there. So I have this poster that was put up. This was shared to us by, I believe, Jace Rowe put it for us on Native Roots Radio. But the poster I have says more details to be announced regarding, I'm not sure what, and it looks like you have a more updated poster behind you. Would you all mind reading that for us?
For the drums, we have Hokahei,
Skibamazi,
and then Spirit Boy. Our MC is Deanna Standing Cloud.
Our
director
is Randy Grashik. Is that how you say it?
Randy Grashik.
Yep. And then our head dancers are Nina and Nolan.
We included our dance specials. So we're doing a potato dance, a two-spirit dance special, and a mask and femme sidestep special.
Oh, wow. I can't wait to see that.
I can't wait to see a potato dance. Could you describe what a potato dance is for our listeners who've never seen a potato dance?
Yeah, you put you pair up with somebody, preferably the same height, and you have a potato in between your foreheads, and the objective is the last person to have the potatoes still between their foreheads while performing tricks like jumping, getting on your knee, and still trying to stay on beat. it feels fancy, but we also, the other specials, like, we wanted to refrain from using, you know, man and woman, because not everybody like identifies as a man or a woman. So we chose mask and femme, just to promote, you know, more gender fluidity. And the Two Spirit Dance Special, we're welcoming all Two Spirit dancers to come, and whoever, they all can compete against one another. And it's winner takes all for all three.
Wow, winner takes all, huh? What is the purse look like? As a gay man, I should probably rephrase that. What are the winnings look like? you're like, oh, we don't know yet. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have
awesome.
That's okay.
That's awesome. That's even more surprises. That's cool.
That is really exciting. You know, the other thing that I seen on the poster was that they were asking for people to bring a trade-in item of non-perishable food items or gently used clothing in order to receive a raffle ticket and a food voucher. Is that still active? Yeah. Oh, fantastic. You're all nodding. So a quick reminder that we're on the radio.
We've been collecting food and non-perishable food, or food and clothes, sorry, for the past week or so. And just to have like a supply when people get there, it's important for us to be able to support our community with mutual aid and make it a space where people feel supported in that regard. So we're really hoping everyone can come through, swap clothes, grab what they need, and have it be more than just a place to hang, but a place to get the resources you need.
That is so cool.
I
mentioned to Nolan in the earlier session that, you know, I'm really personally very excited that this powwow is happening at South High School. I went to South High School and graduated from there, like, which feels like decades ago because I'm so old. But I think one of the things that was challenging for me, and I talk about this whenever I'm able to, is like it was challenging to be two-spirit or gay. Identified when I was going through high school. It was really a challenging period of time. This is like in the mid-70s. So, you know, we were not nearly as, open as a society generally for that work. And I remember not even hearing the term two-spirit until I was well into my late teens, early 20s, when I moved to Los Angeles is when I heard about it. And I just remember thinking, when I first heard the term two-spirit, and I started to sort of meet more two-spirit people when I was living in California, who were really, you know, embraced their identity as Indigenous people, and then also embraced their identity as GLBT or two-spirit people, how incredibly affirming that was for me, because I struggled with that for a really long period of time in my life. So I just want to give you all kudos and shout outs and just tell you what an amazing group of individuals I think you are for doing this work. So thank you so much. I think it's such an important thing to do, to demonstrate, compassion and acceptance and leadership, quite frankly, to our young people in the community. So thank you so much for doing that. Yeah, and I can't wait to watch the potato dance. Like, so I might even participate. You never know.
There's a really hot guy with a
really
short,
really small potato, and putting it like in my, so I can get closer. like a mini potato or something like that. Or what do they call those? So
a fingerling.
Yeah. Do you have to bring your own potato dance? Is it BYOP or do you provide potatoes when people arrive?
Potatoes provided.
I'm kind potatoes of provided.
Provided. I'm kind of and sad we didn't put that on there.
Yeah.
Is this open to other members of the community, non-Native members of the community as well?
Great question.
Yeah. We're hoping, you know, it's welcoming to everyone. And we're trying to make it a space where everyone feels like respected and safe. Do you guys have anything to add to that?
Anybody from the community is welcome, just as long as the non-Natives know that they're entering a safe Indigenous Native space, and that that if they happen to show up, like we were just having this discussion earlier, like if somebody shows up and they're not non-Native and they show up in like regalia or something, like you either need to like take it off and come back and maybe try again, or you will be asked to leave because
right.
People won't.
Are you also allowing non-two-spirit people to come to the powwow and also dance with you and support you and be, I guess, involved in the powwow as well?
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's just a space because it's also Pride Month. So acknowledging that and acknowledging that we exist. And of course, we're always open to having people that are non-Native come and experience a powwow, see it all happen in a really good way. Mm-hmm. I feel like we did a really good job, finding people who are also LGBTQ or are really good allies. Mm-hmm. Even Skiba Mazi is actually a two-spirit drum, or they have two-spirit people that sing on their drum.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it was just more so like giving people the time and space to be themselves, and for other people that are either non-native or don't identify as queer to also experience this.
And be in community too, so that we can all kind of be in community and accept each other and feel safe with one another.
That is so awesome. I'm really proud of you doing this work. It's such an incredible opportunity to to come together as a community and show support for our relatives who are Two-Spirit. It's also an opportunity for us to demonstrate all of our gifts and our talents and the contributions that we make to our community, right?
You are
all doing an amazing work, so thank you so much. And hopefully it's the first of many, many, many more. So thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Yes. Finish this one, start on the next one.
You all join us for just one more segment on the show?
Yes.
Absolutely. We're going to go to commercial here, but you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm Oga Maganuakwe with Dr. Stately, hosting for Robert Pilot and Wendy Pilot today. And just a reminder, we're talking about the Minneapolis Two-Spirit Powwow, Reclaiming Our Identities Powwow, tomorrow, June 24th from 3 to 8 p.m. at South High School. Make sure if you can, if you're a member of the community, to show up in a good way for that event and support our relatives. We'll be right back.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm Oga Maganuakwe, co-hosting with Dr. Anthony Stately. Today on Native Roots Radio, Robert and Wendy are away out of state, I believe, for a couple of days. And if I'm not mistaken, it's their anniversary. Do you remember them saying that, Dr.
Yep.
Stately?
Yep.
Yes. So they're celebrating their anniversary. So happy anniversary to Robert and Wendy Pilot. We usually, at this portion of the show, we announce that this portion of the show is brought to you by the Howling for Wolves organization, and then we howl. Do you think our guests here, Beth, Em, and Jennifer, do you think you might be willing to howl with us? Would that be okay?
Can we see a Two-Spirit howl?
So I'm going to say this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howl! Oh, wonderful, beautiful. Thanks so much for humoring us with that. We really appreciate you.
Yeah. I loved, sorry with my little lip syncing of the what's the name from Reservation Dogs? I can't scream. I can't do that, like that little powwow, like war cry. I sound like a sick chicken when I do it.
I think that's a lot of us.
Right? I was like, no one's ever going to be afraid of that. So like, just don't do it.
They might be afraid. If you're a sick chicken, they might be afraid you'd get sick too. So maybe, yeah, maybe like it might strike a little fear in them.
Maybe, yeah. I could like peck their toes or something and really do some damage.
There you go. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So welcome back. And thank you again for joining us for another segment. I wanted to know, like, South High is such a has some significance for us here in South Minneapolis. You want to speak a little bit about that? And or did any of you go to South High School?
None of us went to South High when we were starting. Right? Okay.
No, I have a note.
When we were starting planning, one main priority was keeping it in South Minneapolis if we could. Mm-hmm. And keeping it close by so that people wouldn't have to go very far or drive very far, just to make it as central and accessible as possible. And then Beth, you actually had some connections.
We were able to be a community partner with Minneapolis Indian Education, who was able to get us the practice field site for the.
That's awesome. So Jennifer and her people helped you get the space. That's awesome. South High, actually, when I was in high school, which again is decades ago, but it was one of the largest populations of Native students in the Minneapolis school district at that time. I'm not sure. I think it's probably still has that distinction because it is in like. It is situated right in the area that's close to South Minneapolis, near Little Earth of United Tribes, which is the nation's first and only indigenous-owned and operated housing project, public housing project, and then really close to the American Indian Cultural Corridor, where the Indian Center and Native American Community Clinic, where I work, is, and a number of other like long-established organizations that serve the Native American community. And so it is like probably it's an institution just like all the other ones, I think, because it's been around and it serves a lot of the Native people living in the community. So that's kind of got that distinction as well. I think it's amazing that is it in the gymnasium or is it in that big, huge, like common space?
It's in the practice field.
Oh, so. Okay. Oh, it's outdoors.
Oh, it's outdoors.
It's outdoors. So bring water and sunscreen.
right. And maybe something to change into if you like really get sweaty or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you dance real hard out there, make sure you bring extra regalia with you so you can change. That's what you got to do.
Most people don't have that. Do they have?
No,
a thing
don't.
Like you have extra regalia?
I don't think that's a saying, no, but yes. Maybe maybe extra under layers for under the regalia or something.
Yeah, that seems to be a really critical thing to have, I would imagine. So, especially after the potato dance, you know, potato dance could spark some romance, perhaps. Yeah. You know, you're getting really kind of close there. Are you any of you dancing tomorrow?
I am. Awesome. I'm a jingle dress dancer.
You're a jingle dress dancer? That's awesome. I'm gonna dance and I have no regalia. I have a couple of relatives that and one of them just here on this comment thing reminded me that I said I would dance at this powwow tomorrow. So I don't have any regalia, so I'm gonna be I'll be the one that looks a little bit odd dancing with no regalia. And I also really don't know how to do much dancing, you know. I could do a mean sidestep, I suppose, right? So
but that's super welcome. We want everyone, no matter, you know, how much regalia you have, how blinged out you are, just to feel ready to dance and excited to.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I'm really excited about it. People always make fun of me because, you know, in the round dance or the friendship dance, I'm always the one that's kind of got a little swing to the hip. So I'm gonna bring my best game tomorrow and
bring it to the sidestep.
There you go.
I have a question too, for those of us who are maybe from further north in Minnesota, like myself, how could we, is anybody going live? Do we know if there's going to be any live feeds from there? If you guys are using a hashtag, is that something that's happening? Mm-hmm. Do you know?
Mm-hmm. Hashtag.
We have some people recording for events, for like videos that they will be producing later.
Oh.
I don't know if we have anyone recording live. we may do an Instagram takeover of New Native Theater.
That would be wonderful. I would love to be able to see it from a little bit further away and send support and love through the airwaves like we can now that we've been through the COVID-19 pandemic and I don't know how to use Zoom and everything. It's it's certainly been a tool. You know, we've got just a couple of minutes left, but I was wondering if you all might be able to share a little bit about some of the issues the Two-Spirit community still faces in the Twin Cities. What kind of issues are our relatives dealing with out there?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Dr. Stately could probably talk about this too, but
I'll start, but I would love to hear what you guys say. But I know like houselessness is a big thing, especially since a lot of people may get kicked out of their homes or feel unwelcome in their homes because of transphobia and homophobia. Mm-hmm. Having a shelter and a safe place to live is a lot of times difficult for Two Spirits. I also, since we were on the topic, regalia, sometimes regalia is passed down from family, is made by family. When people are disconnected in that way, we found a lot of people in the Two-Spirit community don't have regalia, so they don't feel comfortable being in powwows and dancing in powwows. So, you know, getting people culturally connected with items that they may be disconnected from is a, you know, not often talked about, but a thing that we come across a lot.
Yeah. Those are really great things to highlight. I think one of the things that I know that for sure is like, Two-Spirit boys and girls are much more vulnerable sometimes to become trafficked, as well as our women in our community. And usually that's related a little bit to like they're either ostracized from their homes or they're sort of feel like they're outcast, and they oftentimes end up in very vulnerable situations and positions. So that's a really important thing. And then we have, of course, really high rates of suicidality in our community already, but I think generally speaking, there's really high rates of suicidality also in Two-Spirit communities and GLBT folks. So those are important things to remember.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all so much for joining us for talking about the Two-Spirit Powwow happening in Minneapolis at South High tomorrow from 3 to 8 p.m. The address for South High is 3131 19th Avenue, Minneapolis, or 9th Avenue? Apologies for that. 19th Avenue in Minneapolis. I was right the first time. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Dr. Anthony Stately was so kind enough to co-host today for Robert and Wendy. I'm Ogema Ganuakwe. Remember to remain awake and that you are part of the resistance and that we need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. Tune in tomorrow for Native Roots Radio again.